Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Lily Gladstone will make history this weekend if she wins Best Actress at the Academy Awards. She'd be the first Indigenous woman to do so. Her movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, is up for 10 Oscars, including Best Picture.
I don't even know if you love me anymore.
Of course I love you.
And kill these men who killed my family.
But this story about the murders of Osage tribal members is just one of many new acclaimed film and TV projects featuring Indigenous characters and stories. How big of a moment is this for diversity on screen? NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has some thoughts, and he joins us now. Eric, welcome.
Hi.
So let's start with a show that you really liked. It's the latest season of HBO's True Detective. It follows this attempt to solve the murder of an Indigenous woman in Alaska.
Annie's case isn't closed. It's not closed.
Just let her go. Let that poor girl go.
You didn't find her. You didn't see the hate. You could see the disgust, the way they cut her.
That's HBO's True Detective, but there's also Dark Winds on AMC, Echo on Disney Plus, Reservation Dogs on FX. All of these, Eric, are centering Native Americans in one way or another. Is this a real moment for Indigenous representation?
I think so. True Detective, in particular, here's a franchise that started out very strong, but then the next two seasons were not as well regarded. Particularly, the second season was highly criticized, and then Issa Lopez came on board as showrunner and revitalized True Detective by centering a lot of the story on Indigenous culture and Indigenous women. You know, to see not only that there are more shows featuring Native American, Indigenous people and culture, but to also see that they're creatively successful and people are really enjoying and saying that they're high quality, that's what's really exciting me about this moment.
To that point, are they doing this quality work without relying on like old tropes about Indigenous people that we so often see in TV and film?
Well, that, you know, that is always, I think, the concern. For example, in True Detective, the characters there experience things, and it's hard to tell. Are they having sort of spiritual experiences? Is the spirit world speaking to them? Are they having sort of mental breakdowns, and the only way they can process it is by seeing it as a spiritual event? Reservation Dogs makes no bones about having characters that are spiritual entities. You know, one of them has a social media presence, you know, it's like, so it, in each case in these shows that we've talked about where they use that, I think they use it very well. But, you know, you can also be wary of that becoming something where, you know, every time Indigenous culture is kind of represented, it has to be about some Indigenous person being murdered, and it has to involve some, you know, spiritual awakening, right, or some sort of spiritual character. You don't want to get in the habit of just sort of seeing that happen all the time and having it become a trope. And it is something that we see in several of these shows.
Well, and how are these shows doing with audiences? I ask that because I'm wondering if Hollywood is going to keep its commitment to producing these types of shows.
Well, you know, it's interesting. True Detective has seen some of the best ratings since its very first season. Killers of the Flower Moon, which we started out talking about, a film, has done very well. Reservation Dogs on FX has made a huge impact. Mm. While some of these shows are struggling for viewership, you know, Dark Winds on AMC, I think, is a good example of that. But there's hope that we're going to see more of this because they're winning awards and because people are watching it. And of course, we have to keep an eye on behind the scenes. You know, Reservation Dogs, of course, has a wide range of Indigenous people behind the camera. And then with Echo, even though the writers don't seem to have been Indigenous, the directors were Indigenous women. We do have more diversity behind the camera than maybe we've seen even 5 or 10 years ago. But we can use even more.
Well, and speaking of representation, there is one more show we want to talk to you about. It's on FX on Hulu, and it's gotten a lot of buzz. Let's listen.
I tell you what, English, we're coming into port soon. What are you going up there? Come up. Tell me what you see. And tell me, when you set eyes on Osaka, if you really think our world is the hilt of civilization, and then ask yourself, What kind of man wields power in a land like this?
So that is sound from Shogun, the reboot of the 1980s series, which was, of course, based on the book. We played that clip in English, but most of the characters speak Japanese, and it's got a mostly Japanese cast. What do you make of Shogun?
I think it's a wonderful production. FX has spent a lot of money to recreate this story. We get transported back to 1600-era Japan, and we get to learn all of the intricacies of how power worked in that culture back then, and the Japanese are just starting to get to know Europeans. It is really interesting, I think it reflects sort of this modern era where we want stories that are more authentic. We don't want them to be so white-centered, and I think Shogun really fits that bill, and people should check it out because we're going to be talking about this come Emmy time.
Looks fascinating. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, thanks so much for this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.